Hello and welcome to the Zero to Finals podcast. My name is Tom, and in this episode I'm going to be talking to you about urinary tract infections. If you want to follow along with written notes on this topic, you can follow along at zerotofinals.com/UTI or in the infectious diseases section of the Zero to Finals medicine book. Let's get straight into it. Urinary tract infections involve infection in the bladder causing cystitis. And cystitis is inflammation of the bladder. They can be spread up to the kidneys, and this causes pyelonephritis. And they're far more common in women, where the urethra, or the tube between the bladder and the outside, is much shorter, making it very easy for bacteria to get up into the bladder. The main source of bacteria for urinary tract infections is from feces, where the normal intestinal bacteria such as E. coli can easily make the short journey to the urethra from the opening of the anus. Sexual activity is a key method for spreading bacteria around the perineum, and this is where bacteria are able to find their way towards the urethral opening. They're also very common in women where incontinence or hygiene are a problem. Urinary catheters are a key source of infection, and catheter-related urinary tract infections tend to be more significant and more difficult to treat. So how do they present? Lower urinary tract infections, which is where it only affects the bladder and hasn't spread up to the kidneys, present with dysuria, which is pain or stinging or burning sensations when passing urine, suprapubic pain or discomfort, so pain in the lower part of the abdomen just above the pubic bone, frequency of urine, urgency of urine, where suddenly they need to go and pass urine, whereas previously they were able to hold it for a while the bladder filled, incontinence of urine, and sometimes confusion or just feeling generally unwell is the only symptom, and this is more common in older and more frail patients. So if you have a patient who is older and more frail and they present with just a bit of confusion or less mobile than previous or generally feeling unwell, think about UTI. Pyelonephritis presents with fever, and fever is a more prominent feature of pyelonephritis compared with lower urinary tract infections where fever is less common. Loin, suprapubic or back pain, and this may be bilateral or unilateral. They tend to look and feel generally more unwell or septic compared to patients with a lower urinary tract infection. Vomiting, loss of appetite, hematuria, or bleeding into the urine. And when you examine them, they may have renal angle tenderness. So as you put your hand under their lower back where their kidney is and palpate from the front, there'll be tenderness in that renal angle area. Let's talk about urine dipsticks, because this is a key topic that you need to understand, because this is how you're going to diagnose most of your urinary tract infections. Nitrites are a particular thing we look for urinary tract infections on the urine dipstick. Gram-negative bacteria, such as E. coli, break down a chemical called nitrates, which is a normal waste product in the urine, and break it down into nitrites. So the presence of nitrites suggests bacteria in the urine, particularly gram-negative bacteria. Leukocytes is another thing we look for on the urine dipstick, and this means white blood cells. There's normally a small number of leukocytes in the urine, but a significant rise can be the result of an infection or other causes of inflammation. Urine dipsticks test for something called leukocyte esterase, which is a product of leukocytes, that gives an indication to the number of leukocytes in the urine. Generally, nitrites are a better indication of infection than leukocytes. If both are present, then it's worth treating the patient as a UTI. If only nitrites are present, it's worth treating as a UTI, but if only leukocytes are present, then the patient should not be necessarily treated as a UTI unless there's clinical evidence that they have one. If nitrites and leukocytes are present, the urine should be sent for microscopy and culture in the microbiology lab. If neither of them are present, then it's unlikely that they have a urinary tract infection. When you're sending a sample of urine to the lab, send a midstream urine sample to be cultured and to have sensitivity testing to check which antibiotics would be appropriate for the bug that's grown in the urine. This is particularly important if patients don't respond to antibiotics or if they have recurrent urinary tract infections. So what are the causes of urinary tract infections? The most common cause is something called E. coli. And this is a gram-negative, anaerobic, rod-shaped bacteria that's part of the normal lower intestinal microbiome. It's found in feces and it can easily be spread to the bladder. There's a few other possible causes of urinary tract infections. Klebsiella pneumoniae, which is a gram-negative anaerobic rod, similar to E. coli. Enterococcus, Pseudomonas arginosa, Staphylococcus saprophyticus, and Candida albicans, which is a fungal infection. What antibiotics would you use to treat a urinary tract infection? Well, as with all infections, you need to follow the local antibiotic guidelines to make sure that the antibiotic you're using is appropriate to the local population, where they'll have individual patterns of antibiotic resistance. An appropriate initial antibiotic to treat a lower urinary tract infection, not pyelonephritis, in the community would be something like trimethoprim or nitrofurantoin. Alternatives to this are pivmecillinam, amoxicillin, and kefalexin. How long should you give the antibiotics for? Well, 3 days of antibiotics is the standard course for a simple lower urinary tract infection in women. 5 to 10 days of antibiotics can be used for women that are immunocompromised or if they have abnormal anatomy or they have impaired renal function. And 7 days of antibiotics is the typical course for men, pregnant women, and patients who have catheter-related urinary tract infections. It's also worth noting that the NICE guidelines recommend changing a catheter when somebody's diagnosed with a catheter-related urinary tract infection. And this is to take away the source of infection, put in a fresh catheter without infection, and hopefully you're able to clear that infection in the bladder quicker. A special note on pregnancy is that urinary tract infection in pregnancy increases the risk of pyelonephritis, preterm rupture of membranes, and preterm labour. So patients that are pregnant and have even bacteria without any symptoms need to be treated properly. And the management in pregnancy is 7 days of antibiotics. You always send a urine for culture and sensitivities to make sure you know which antibiotics are going to be effective. And generally, the first line treatment in pregnancy is nitrofurantoin, although the second line treatment of kefalexin is often used, and amoxicillin is an alternative. Nitrofurantoin is generally avoided in the third trimester because it can be linked with something called hemolytic anemia of the newborn. And trimethoprim is generally considered safe in pregnancy but avoided in the first trimester or if they're on other medications that affect folic acid, such as antiepileptics, because trimethoprim has antifolate effects and folic acid is very important during pregnancy. The final thing to talk about is the management of pyelonephritis. Patients with pyelonephritis, if they have features of sepsis, they need to be referred into hospital for proper secondary care management. And NICE recommend the following first-line antibiotics for 7 to 10 days when you're treating pyelonephritis in the community. And these would be kefalexin, coamoxiclav, trimethoprim, or ciprofloxacin. So thanks for listening to this episode on urinary tract infections. If you found it helpful and you want written notes on this topic and all the other podcast episodes, head over to Amazon and pick up a copy of the Zero to Finals Medicine book. It's got detailed and concise notes on 10 specialties in medicine and is designed specifically to contain the key facts and guidelines you need to pass your medical exams. If you don't fancy spending any money, you can get all the notes as well as videos, illustrations, and questions completely free without having to put in your email address or any other sign-up features, all on the Zero to Finals website at zerotofinals.com. And I hope you tune in for the next episode, which will be on skin and soft tissue infections.